So welcome to The Agent Effect. I'm your host, Paul Jarrett, and I'm delighted to be joined by our CEO, Ravi Kumar. Welcome to the show, Ravi.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.
First of all, congratulations on being nominated to the Times 100 Most Influential People in AI. That's a fantastic achievement. Cognizant has done so much over the last 12 months, from open sourcing your AI multi-agent accelerator to launching Agent Foundry, and now winning a Guinness World Record for the largest vibe coding event. One theme that seems
so
to
Paul,
be...
Paul, you know, I'll tell you what. Yeah. All the things you said are the reasons why I showed up on that list. I'm just like an agent representing Cognizant. So the extraordinary work done by the 350,000 employees of the company, the AI labs, the leaders in the firm who are so much embracing AI, I've taken that story out. And this award belongs to all the leaders who've been embracing AI inside Cognizant.
Yeah, it's everyone's got a part of it that they're playing. And we're very happy to have you here as well in the AI lab today. But I think one thing that's consistent here is AI agents, right? So perhaps you could start there and talk a bit about the big picture. If I'm the CEO of a big Fortune 500 company, how serious should I be taking AI agents? You know, and what makes them a distinctive advantage strategically?
You know what, Paul? Technologies which came so far over the last 50 years, they were tools which helped humans to do better, be efficient, more productive, and more insightful.
Mm-hmm.
Agents, in some ways, is a double down on not just the tools which are available with insights. And this time around, it's not just deterministic insights. It's actually probabilistic insights, which means they're out of the possible. And it equally is action-oriented, which means you can not just have the insights, but you can actually apply them for your decision-making and have agentic capital, as I call it, equivalent to human capital, or digital labor, if you may, or digital workforce, if you may, which applies and actions on your behalf. So effectively, here's what's happening. We wrote software as humans to manage the work in enterprises. We wrote software to help us on tasks. Here we are now. We have agents doing human work, or the work we ask them for, and we have software written to manage agents. So it's a very different paradigm we are entering. And agents have a much bigger surface area. That's why CEOs are excited. The surface area in which agents by themselves could be multifold. They diffuse much, much efficiently, which means they can actually get to any part of an enterprise with ease. And equally, they could be in abundance. We're all entering this era of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we had human capital, which was constrained, we thought about what an enterprise could do in and around those constraints. When we operate enterprises in an era of abundance, we have to look at the art of the possibilities of what an enterprise can do. I mean, just reorganizing ourselves for an era of abundance, digital capital, digital workforce, or an agent, as you call it, is multifold. It's 24/7. It can. It's very different to what human capital is. So the way you see the possibilities of what an enterprise can do with new products, new services, better experiences, is very, very different to how human capital is. So if I was a CEO of an enterprise, I would see this as an opportunity for me to get this unconstrained digital capital,
mm-hmm.
to perform tasks for a company, to build new products, new services, new experiences for my consumers. And I would see this as an amplifier to human workforce. It's an amplification to human workforce on one side. It can improve productivity of human workforce on the other side. And equally, you could tap into things humans couldn't do and do things which you couldn't imagine humans could do. So, I mean, that's how I should wire the firm to seize the opportunities from agentic capital.
And Cognizant's really kind of client zero in this respect, isn't it? Because we've agentified our intranet, One Cognizant, and recently the vibe coding event was judged by the multi-agent system. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a big believer that we, as they call it, we eat our own dog food.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be the biggest reference stack for our clients. Our client, we are a big enterprise, distributed human capital, very digitally aware employees. We operate in many countries. So anything we can apply to ourselves can not just be a benefit to us as an enterprise, but it'll also be a reference stack for our clients. That's how I see it. So we are revamping our intranet. We're revamping our website through where we get some traffic. We're revamping how our employees get onboarded. We're revamping how our employees how our prospective employees get interviewed. We are changing how we engage with employees. We're changing how we engage with our clients, how we present ourselves in the markets. So we're changing our operations of the company, how we want to be a sentient real-time enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that means not just applying the things we do for our clients to ourselves first, but also equally making it available as repeatable journeys for our clients. Now, the vibe coding event was very important. One of the biggest use cases of AI is writing code.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't start that way, but 50% of the use cases for our clients today, which we do, is about using AI for software development cycles. So we thought the best way to scale the company up is to create momentum, hustle, and velocity inside. So we actually created a vibe coding event where 250,000 people registered.
Incredible.
And in a unique way, 55,000 people concurrently, our employees, were coding using vibe coding platforms to improve the productivity, to increase velocity, and to do things which they were doing it in a classical way before.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved this process. We had 30 plus thousand prototypes, which got evaluated by AI.
Yeah,
incredible. The AI labs created this mechanism to evaluate them, score them. And now we have a repository where we now have an AI coach in the company, where if you're an employee, you want to say, build something exciting on inventory management, you could just key in and say, I'm going to build something on inventory management. You will find all the prototypes attached to it,
mm-hmm,
available at your disposal to increase the curiosity of what you're doing, but more importantly, get you to problems which have already been solved.
Right.
So this is a one-time event to get to the scale. We got into the Guinness Book of Records. And then there is sustained effort to make all our employees write code and software development cycles, manage software development cycles in only one way, which is writing and managing software development cycles alongside AI algorithms, alongside AI platforms. That's the new way of how a developer in Cognizant is going to write software for the future.
Right.
So we're super excited about the fact that we have scaled it internally and we're flipping it to what we can do for our clients.
Yeah, it's amazing. One point I want to touch on is context. I think you mentioned in a recent Harvard Business Review article the importance of context when you're talking about agentic AI and multi-agent systems. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, early in the year, I worked with one of the companies we jointly partner with, Context Fabric. And the founder of the company is a good friend of mine. And we worked on what does agentic journeys look like?
Mm-hmm.
you know, software development cycles are being assisted by AI. Agent development cycles are very different. I mean, in software development cycles, you scoped work, you designed work, you developed and deployed, and you maintained. In agentic journeys, you scope for outcomes, you design for behavior, you scale, and you do it in an iterative way because agents learn, and then you don't maintain, you supervise.
Right.
So in that journey, we also know that in the software development cycles, we customized software and we customized code to address the heterogeneity of an enterprise, address the unique differentiators of an enterprise. Enterprises were heterogeneous. They were built for heterogeneity. Mm-hmm. Software was built for repeatability.
Right.
Same way, agents cannot be generic. If you want an agent to be very productive and very efficient and very effective, you want agents to be contextual to an enterprise. Brewing coffee in Starbucks is very different to brewing coffee elsewhere.
Absolutely.
So how do you get the tribal knowledge into the agent? How do you inculcate the work rhythms in an enterprise? How do you feed in the customized data flows and the workflows of an enterprise? So we defined something called context engineering, and we also defined a role of a context engineer. And we have a spec of a job of what a context engineer looks like. And this is uniquely Cognizant.
Amazing.
And the context engineer kind of contextualizes the agent in a way. And we have a science behind it. And we have tooling behind it. And the contextualization of that agent means the agent is much more customized to work for you in your company with the tribal knowledge. You know, me and my co-author, we kind of coined the term, how do you teach AI to be a part of your team?
Right.
Because they are going to work alongside human capital.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they need to have the same culture. They need to inculcate the same flows of an enterprise. So it's fascinating. It's a big science, depending on how precise you want to have the agent run the task.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to feed all this context, which means it's going to be expensive and time-taking.
Yeah.
If you want the agent to learn through the journey, then you could land and at inference time, you can feed context. And if you believe you can live with accuracy, range, then you could get a relatively cheaper agent with lesser context, but you should live with the accuracy in a range versus being very precise. So, it's a science which will develop, and there'll be roles which will be developed. It's equivalent to customizing code.
Okay.
It's equivalent to hustle of an enterprise. We believe this is a job of a system integrator to make these agents very contextual. I mean, there is a recent MIT study which speaks about how 95% of the agentic journeys have actually failed. And they failed because the agents have a learning gap with the enterprise. The enterprise has a learning gap with the tools. And that's one of the reasons why it failed.
Right.
And we think we are precisely addressing that reason with context engineering.
Wow. So it's something to get your head around. Obviously, a very important part of the agentic landscape and how we deploy agents. I know that you've promised to invest $1 billion over the next few years in AI and getting that to our customers and to their customers. How will we roll out agents to our customers?
So, we said we're going to invest $1 billion way back in 2023, right after ChatGPT came in 2022, late 2022.
Yeah.
And by now, we have actually consumed a lot of that money as well. But we will actually invest more than this as we go forward. Our belief is very simple. We had a role as a partner for software development cycles for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We do think the future is going to be an interplay between the software SaaS layer, where there is going to be deterministic logic, there will be agentic logic and agent on the AI native layer. There'll be an interplay between the two. There'll be interplay between structured and unstructured data, and there'll be an interplay between human capital and agentic capital. So the role of a system integrator is going to be more complex than before, integrating all of this into enterprises, right, migrating all the logic sitting in SaaS layer into the agentic layer, making agentic capital work alongside human capital. So we think we have a lot of heavy lift to do. So we have a lot of work and a lot of investments put in all the way from identifying what is coming on the way, mm-hmm, in our AI labs, mm-hmm, to engineering IP on the edge. The funnel which comes from the AI labs translates to a bunch of platforms we want to build.
Yeah.
And use those platforms alongside our consultants to deliver on the agentic journeys. This is a very fragmented market now. And we think we have a unique spot of changing our operating model, or actually introducing a new operating model alongside the old operating model of actually owning the outcomes for our clients, and bringing the entire ecosystem as a bundle integrated with our services. So it's a uniquely new model, mm-hmm, where we will not only just have, these days we have time and material fixed price deals and some transaction based work. We'll have time and material fixed price, transaction based, and outcome based pricing as we unlock the agentic journeys. I mean, as you integrate AI, as you integrate the agentic capital into an enterprise, you want to unlock new labor pools for outsourcing.
Right, right.
And as that happens, we will just increase the total addressable spend to which companies like ours address the market. And when that happens, I just think we're going to be more strategic than what we were in the software development cycles. Remember, it's not abandoning the software development cycle for the agentic development cycle. It's actually coexisting.
Right.
And we were already in that swim lane of software development cycles. We're building a parallel swim lane on agentic development cycles. And I think we'll coexist. The agentic development cycles will have higher velocity than the software development cycles. Software development cycles will be assisted by AI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a loop.
Loop, yeah.
While agentic cycles are going to be built by system integrators like us and will address the heterogeneity of enterprises using context engineering and the complexity which I spoke about of bringing human capital and agentic capital, probabilistic and deterministic logic, and building services around the LLM or the frontier models. In the past, our partnership was related to building services around the microprocessor,
mm-hmm,
in the software development cycles. I would actually say LLM is the new microprocessor. We're building services around LLMs.
Analogy. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I guess finally, like, where do you see the future of AI heading, and agents in particular, and how should CEOs and CTOs be kind of preparing for this kind of new era of autonomous collaborative systems?
The way to see this is, you should see this with the lens of not just looking at, I mean, this is what we're doing now, which is many clients who I work with are looking for how do I amplify the potential of humans by using AI tooling.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will progressively get to how do I do things which humans couldn't do. I mean, there are a large number of areas humans have not been able to conquer. And how do I use this capital to do it? And this is unlimited capital.
Yeah.
The AI scaling laws are making compute fall at a cost point which makes most of the use cases viable. I mean, the Moore's law, which actually drove all the technology advances so far, was doubling in 18 to 24 months. This is doubling in 6 months.
Crazy.
And therefore, the use cases which you believe won't stack up, won't cross the hurdle rate because of the economic viability, in 6 months will start to look like they're economically viable. So see this with that lens. You know, experiment with things with a mindset of non-linearity. And start to explore things which you couldn't because of human capital. So far, the quick wins have been to amplify human potential.
Mm-hmm.
the bigger wins are going to come from working on areas where, you know, the human capital, as human capital, we couldn't conquer those areas, like drug development cycles, material sciences. You're going to see much more advances there.
Fantastic. Well, Ravi, this has been a fantastic discussion. Enjoyed chatting with you. Appreciate it as always. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. And thanks for all the great work you guys do in the AI labs. I'm super excited. I would actually invite all our clients, our associates who happen to be in the Bay Area should drop by to our center in San Francisco. I mean, it's such an inspiring story. Thank you.
We look forward to hosting them. Thank you very much.